Smoke drew a bead on a lanky gunman who was wearing a black cowboy hat and racing toward Cal with a rifle at his shoulder. It was a calculated risk that neither man would be able to get off a shot at Cal before Smoke killed him. But a man on a running horse has more difficulty steadying a pistol or a rifle. A man lying on his belly, though, peering through a tangle of broomweed, resting his elbows on the ground, had a distinct advantage. Better still, when that rifleman understood guns and the nature of a rifle slug's drop at greater distances. The man in the black hat appeared to run into an invisible rope or a wire while his gun was at full speed. The gunman's head was jerked backward, and the rest of him went along off the rump of his charging mount. A stocky gunman atop a bounding sorrel did a circus flip out of his saddle, folded over, knees tucked under his chin. He appeared to be suspended there while his horse ran off without him. He landed in a curious fashion, on the back of his neck with his butt sticking straight up while his legs flopped over his head. Smoke came slowly to his feet. He had to make sure both gunmen were dead. When he saw Cal start riding off the hill to investigate for himself, Smoke waved him back, unwilling to take any form of chance with the boy's life. He walked up on the first man he shot, and what he saw left him satisfied. A slack-jawed man in his middle 30s with deep brown hair lay on his back, with his throat torn open where a slug had gone through. Blood was pumping from the gaping hole in his throat to form a spreading red stain around his head and shoulders. His eyes, as black as coal and filled with a mixture of pain, surprise, and hatred, turned on Smoke when Smoke's shadow fell across his face.
If you see Anderson again, which ain't likely, tell him his men make real good target practice. I heard Bloody Bill Anderson rode with some of the toughest gunmen west of the Mississippi. You can tell him for me, it just ain't so. I haven't met up with a tough one yet.
Bastard!
That's a real bad reflection on my mother. Under damn near any other circumstances, I'd make you sorry you said that. But it looks like I'd be wasting my time showing you the error of your ways. You'll be dead in a minute or two.
Smoke walked away to find the other bank robber, his rifle cocked and ready. Remembering the way the shorter gunman had fallen on his neck, it wasn't likely he would actually need the gun. The man lay in an odd pose, with his butt up and his feet over his head, as if he'd meant to land that way.
This one's dead.
Smoke turned to Cal and beckoned to him, lowering the hammer on his Winchester. Like he'd set out to do, he was making Bill Anderson and his killers pay for what they'd done to unarmed citizens of Dodge and for emptying both banks of their money.
Right unusual way to die.
Let's get clear of this spot. No telling if there's some coming behind these two.
Beats everything I ever saw, Mr. Jensen. How you killed two men before they ever fired a shot. They didn't even know you was there.
We baited them, son. Like putting worm on a fishing hook.
How's that?
It's simple enough. I hope you'll remember it. They saw you on that hill where I told you to wait. That drew them to you like a bear comes to honey. They weren't expecting anybody else to be there, figuring you had to be the one who'd got the others with a knife. They didn't do a hell of a lot of thinking just now. They thought they saw what they expected to see. That can be a man's biggest weakness when he goes looking for something special because he believes it's going to be there. Learn from it, Cal. Never trust your eyes without making sure of everything around you.
You said we was gonna trick them, only you didn't explain how. I understand, Mr. Jensen. They didn't look close enough at little things like when I saw sunlight shine off your rifle barrel just a second or two before you shot them. On top of that, they should have done even more thinking. I was sitting up there with a spare horse, but it was wearing a saddle too. A man don't take two saddles when he rides cross-country with a fresh mount. No need but for one saddle if it's just one man.
You've got the idea. It's the little things that often make the difference between living and dying. It's better to be sure of things before you make your play.
You sure showed them. Hasn't been a couple of hours and you've already killed four of them. If they got a lick of sense, the rest will be worried by now.
We'll send them a little message. Go fetch up those two geldings and hand me your lariat rope. You just gave me an idea.
Bill stood on a rock ledge watching their back trail with his field glasses. Buster was by his side. He studied the horizon from the highest point they could find, while the rest of the men waited in a draw, resting and drinking whiskey to pass time or dressing a few minor flesh wounds that three of his gang had taken during the robbery. It had been a hard push to cover so much ground, hard on the horses as well as on men. And there was that problem of another sort. The man, or several men, who kept following them, killing Dewey and Sammy with a knife in a spot where they should have been able to see someone stalking them. Bill had watched closely for dust signs to the rear, and he'd seen nothing all day, not so much as a wisp of trail dust. What was happening didn't make a hell of a lot of sense. He'd been running from lawmen and Union cavalry for so many years, he was sure he knew all the tricks of the game, until now. And for reasons he couldn't explain, he felt it was the work of just one man, and that was even more puzzling. Who would go alone after a gang the size of his? Only a madman. One truly crazy son of a bitch.
Joe and Shorty ain't coming. The guy who got Dewey and Sammy got them too.
Not Joe Lucas. He's too damn careful to get bushwhacked. It's just taking him more time than they had it figured.
This gent's slippery. He could even be the feller who got Scarface. Maybe he's got some others with him. A posse. That'd explain why it's taken Joe and Shorty so long to get back. Could have run into a whole bunch of guns back yonder.
We'd have seen some dust if it was a posse. It's that some bitch who flung Harley off the roof who's responsible. I got this feeling about it, about how it's him.
That can't be no good feeling if it's just one man. Just don't figure why some tough son of a bitch would be in Dodge this time of year. The gent who got Harley wasn't no lawman. Big feller, real tall from what I seen of him. I remember one more thing. He yelled real loud when he throwed Harley's body, like he wanted us to know it was him and that he was up there. Damn near like it was daring somebody to shoot at him. Could be he's crazy.
Crazy like a fox. A genuine crazy man would have showed himself by now. I seen a few crazies during the war, when they seen too much blood, too much dying. They'd come running at our lines like they was bulletproof, screaming their damn heads off, till a bullet shot them down. Some of them would get right back up and come charging at us again whilst they was dying. It was a hell of a sight to see. But this bastard who's following us ain't that kind of crazy. Somehow, he's able to sneak up on us without showing himself, which is damn hard to do in this open country. But I still don't figure he got Joe. Shorty, maybe, but not Joe Lucas.
Ain't no man bulletproof, not even Joe.
Bill's glasses found movement on a distant hill. A pair of horses came trotting into view.
Yonder they come! Both of them! I can see both their horses. A Sorrel and Joe's big buckskin.
Let's hope they kill the some bitch. If they did, we can quit worrying.
Bill watched the horses a little longer because something about them seemed wrong. Yet he couldn't put a finger on just what it was. Dusky darkness made it hard to see detail. Long black shadows fell away from the hills in places, preventing him from seeing Joe and Shorty clearly. He waited while the horses came closer, holding a slow trot along a trail of horse droppings and hoof prints his gang had left in their wake. Bill was in too much of a hurry to make the alabaster caves west of Old Fort Supply, where they could hide out, and there wasn't time to be careful about leaving a trail to follow until they crossed over the Kansas line at the Cimarron River. In the river, they could ride downstream in the shallows and lose any posse men or cavalry when the current washed out their horse tracks.
I can see them now. Two horses, only they sure as hell are coming real slow. Looks like they'd be in a hurry to bring good news. Maybe they couldn't find the sneaky son of a bitch.
The pair of horses rounded a low hill, and Bill could see him plainly enough then. His jaw muscles went taut when his teeth gritted in anger.
Damn!
The hell's wrong, Bill?
He got him.
The hell are you talking about? Yonder they come. That's Joe's yeller dun, and that's Shorty Sorrel, ain't it?
It's the right horses. Shorty and Joe are... tied across their saddles. Dead.
Why would the bastard take the time to tie Shorty and Joe to their saddles?
He's sending us a warning.
Son of a bitch. They are dead. I can see their arms dangling loose. What kind of crazy son of a bitch would do that?
A man who don't give up easy. He aims to dog our trail all the way to the nations. Can't figure why. Only it's real clear he ain't in no mood to give up.
I ain't so sure it's one man, Bill. One man couldn't have handled Joe and Shorty so quick. I say there's a bunch of them back yonder. Damn near has to be.
I got this feeling you're wrong.
Bill swung off the ledge, taking long, purposeful strides down to the spot where his men rested.
But there's 11 of us left, and we'll be more careful from here on.
We've lost some of our best shooters.
Send a couple men out to fetch Joe and Shorty back here. Their horses are coming too slow, following the scent of these others. I'll have everybody get mounted. Maybe we can lose that bastard when we come to the river.
Pete Woods and Stormy Summers led the horses, with bodies lashed to saddles, over to Bill. Stormy's face was not the right color.
Joe's got a hole blow plumb through his neck. Shorty cut one in the chest right near his heart.
Cut him down, Pete, and leave him here. We'll use their horses for fresh mounts. See if there's any money in their pants' pockets. Don't leave nothing valuable behind.
But they sure do stink. Goddamn flies been eating on them. On the blood.
Search their pockets like I told you. Time we cleared out of here quick. Been here too long. We ought to hit the river close to midnight.
Who you reckon done this?
A crazy man. He has to be out of his goddamn mind.
Bill wheeled his horse, heading south onto a darkening prairie, leading 10 men and 4 pack animals loaded with bags of money toward the Cimarron. In the back of his mind, he wondered what kind of a man was following him. Unlike Buster, Bill wasn't quite so sure the stalker was crazy. Deadly might be a better word. And to make matters worse, the man on their trail seemed to be enjoying himself in a way. Why else would he have sent the bodies back? Unless he wanted fear to cause Bill and his gang to make another careless mistake. Smoke led Cal down a series of winding dry washes, staying off the hilltops where they might be seen. It took longer to travel this way, but time was unimportant to Smoke right now. Facing far superior numbers, caution was his best weapon. Cal rode up beside him, peering into the dark.
How come you don't act worried they'll ambush us? Not there ain't no light.
This Palouse will warn us. Tribe of Indians up in the far northwest bred and raised the Palouse for special reasons. First off, they're tough. Got more stamina than any other breed of horse. On top of that, they've got natural, unusual noses and the best ears ever attached to horse flesh. They can smell a man or another horse from half a mile away if the wind's right, and the slightest sound will make this stud's ears prick up.
How come everybody don't ride a Palouse? Do most folks know they're special?
Ain't many of them left, son. When the army captured Chief Joseph and the rest of the Nez Perce tribes, they killed off most of their spotted ponies.
That's mighty cold-blooded to kill a horse for what a tribe of Indians done.
Another reason I've got damn little respect for the army. An outfit that kills horses for no reason, other than they're better than most, is the act of cowards.
I've always wondered why you favored that stud and his colt so much.
I want the best animal I can find between my knees when I strap a saddle on.
Them bank robbers will be more careful now. How you aim to get the rest of them?
Oh, they'll give me my chances.
You sound mighty sure of it, Mr. Jensen.
It's the nature of men on the run. When they feel somebody close, they make mistakes. Get in too big a hurry.
I've been paying real close attention to most everything you do, so I can learn from it. You ride low country, and you always keep your eyes moving. You don't never look at one spot for long.
Old habit, I reckon.
Does it ever bother you that you've killed a bunch of men?
I used to think about it some, until I met Sally. Since we got married, I've tried to live peaceful. Only there's been times when my past catches up to me.
Old enemies? From before you hitched up with Ms. Jensen?
Mostly. I still have trouble passing up a one-sided fight where someone who's in the right is facing men who mean to do them wrong.
Like the folks who live in Dodge City, maybe. If you hadn't been there, more of them would have died trying to save their money.
I told Marshal Earp It was time to let him ride out of town. This way is better. It's just us and them. Nobody else gets hurt or killed.
I reckon I hadn't ought to tell you this, but I was scared when all that shooting was going on. I stayed hid behind the front of that roof most of the time. Couldn't hardly make myself rise up and shoot nearly as regular as I should.
You played it smart. No need to apologize for it. You did a right decent job of shooting when you had the chance. And that's all anyone can expect from you.
Didn't do nearly as much shooting as you or Pearly. I was just too scared.
Fear can be a good thing. Until you know a little more about fighting, it's best to take it slow and easy. You'll learn as you get older. Experience is the best teacher. I suppose that's why I brought you along. But I don't want you to take any big chances. You leave that to me.
One of these days I aim to be as good as you when it comes to fighting. I'm real determined to learn it.
Well, there's a lot of better things for a young man your age to spend his time learning. Like the cow business and horses. Leave the fighting to them that have a knack for it.
The sound of running water announced their arrival at the Cimarron River. Beyond the sluggishly late fall current, trees grew in abundance, which suited Bill Anderson just fine. More places to hide in the all but total darkness of a night without a moon. Buster rode up next to him while they halted on the riverbank to look things over.
Seems quiet enough.
Bill wasn't satisfied, though. He gave the far bank a close look, listening.
You act real edgy, Bill. That bastard can't get ahead of us hard as we've been pushing these horses. I say we get across quick.
I done give up trying to predict what he'll do. But once we get in the river, we're gonna ride down it maybe a mile or two. It'll make it harder for him to find where we came out. We'll look for a stretch of rock north of them alabaster caves to ride out. Can't no man track a horse on them hard rocks.
This ain't like you, Bill. Act worried about one or two men, however many there is. We used to ride off like we was in a damn parade every time we pulled a job. Seems like we're running with our tails between our legs now, and all on account of one or two gents chasing us.
Things have started to change, Buster. This land ain't empty like it was before. And that sumbitch behind us, or maybe it is two or three, has proved to be pretty damn good.
And that old fort is abandoned. We could ride for it and be there by daylight. No matter who's behind us, we can stand them off there real easy.
It's getting across this river that's got me playing things safe. Send a couple of men down to the water ahead of us. If nobody shoots at them, we'll bring the money down.
Floyd, you and Chuck ride down to the river and keep your rifles handy.
Two younger members of the gang spurred their trail-weary horses past the others to ride down a rocky embankment to the water's edge. Both men approached cautiously, slowing their mounts to a walk. Bill waited until no shots were fired at his men.
Let's go!
Floyd Devers turned to Chuck Mabry. Beads of sweat glistened on Floyd's face.
Look safe enough.
Pain like nothing Floyd had ever known before raced down his leg, causing him to let go of the saddle. From Bill Anderson's men, half a dozen guns opened up on the muzzle flash. Bill turned his horse quickly to ride back behind the bank of the river, out of the line of fire.
God damn!
How'd that bastard get across ahead of us?
Bill was furious. He knew he should have sent an advance scouting party ahead to get the lay of things at the river. But with fatigue tugging at his eyelids, he'd forgotten to do it until it was too damn late.
Well, this don't make no sense. We've been riding as hard as these damn horses could carry us, and he still beat us to the river.
Give me two men and I'll ride upstream and cross over so we can get behind him. He won't be expecting that from us.
This son of a bitch, whoever he is, has got us outguessed with every move we make.
We can't just sit here all night, Bill.
What name it to? We'll swing to the east and ride hard as we can. Let's test his horse, see if he can stay up.
He sure as hell ain't had no trouble so far.
Make sure you stay close to the money. If one of our own decides to get rich while all this is going on, shoot him.
I'll stand by you, Bill. Always have. But this gent we got shooting us a few at a time is smart. You'll have to hand him that. We need to stay together. It's when we split up that he cuts some of us down.
Numbers don't appear to make no difference to this son of a bitch. Just do like I say. Stay close to the pack horses. We'll ride to the riverbank for a ways and see what he does next.
We need to make it over to them trees, Bill. Out here in the open, he's got a clear shot at us damn near every time. We'll be a hell of a lot safer on the other side. We keep on this way, he's gonna bushwhack us all.
I've got eyes, Buster.
And I don't need no help counting the men he's killed. Start riding.
Now, hold on a minute, Bill.
Pete Woods pointed down to the river.
Florida's down yonder. He's hurt real bad, and he needs somebody to go and fetch him.
You go fetch him out if you want. I ain't gonna make no target out of myself. Floyd can figure his own way out.
He's shot in the leg.
You could get shot in the head if you go down there, Pete. This was a chance every one of us took when we decided to rob them banks. Men get bullet holes in them sometimes when they take what ain't theirs. But if you're so damn soft-hearted, you ride right on down to that river and lend Floyd a hand.
Man,
sure seems hard.
Robbing folks of their money ain't no church picnic.
Pete lowered his head, unwilling to challenge Bill over it any longer. Bill rode off in the lead.
High time some of these little boys learned a thing or two about Robbie. If it was easy, every son of a bitch who owned a gun would take up the profession.
Don't leave us but with 9 men, Bill.
9? You don't think 9 men stack up right?
Whoever's doing the shooting at us has been real good or real lucky today.
Luck is all it is!
Pete, dumb to ride down there so soon. Should have waited for a spell to see if things was clear.
We don't need no careless men. Pete wasn't thinking straight or he'd have known to wait, like Buster said.
We're all gonna die. That fella who's following us ain't no ordinary man.
Well, Stormy, let me be the one to relieve your fears. Anybody else don't like the way I'm running things?
When not a word was said, Bill reined his horse to ride east. Bill hadn't wanted to kill any more of his men, but there were important things for men to learn if they aimed to stay outside the law. And one was when to take orders and follow them to the letter. Leader couldn't run a military outfit any other way. Keeping his men and their precious cargo well out of rifle range from the far side of the Cimarron, Bill led his men east, determined to make a crossing into the nations as soon as he felt it was safe. Smoking Cow rode across the river, finding it shallow that time of year, until they reached the wounded outlaw who was holding his bleeding leg on a flat rock.
Don't shoot me no more. I give up. I swear I do. My leg's killing me, and I gotta get to a doctor real soon, or I'm gonna bleed to death.
Smoke swung down beside the man, holstering the Colt he held in his right hand.
It's high, your wound is. If we tie a rag around it real tight and catch one of these loose horses, you can set a saddle back to Dodge. Give yourself up to Marshal Wyatt Earp, and he'll see to it you get medical attention.
You gonna trust me like that, mister?
If you aren't in Dodge when we get back, I'll come looking for you.
Oh, sweet Jesus, but my leg hurts. I'll do like you say. Don't want no more of Bloody Bill or his bank robbing business anyhow. I'm done with it for good.
What's your name, son?
Floyd. Floyd Devers. I've been riding with Bloody Bill for a couple of years, only there never was nothing like this. We never shot no unarmed folks, nor no women and kids before. Made my belly sick.
Where's Anderson headed with the money?
It's near this abandoned fort named Fort Supply. The army gave it up years ago. There's these deep caves where we hid our horses when the law came looking for us. The big one is where a fork comes in a dry riverbed. Watch out, mister, because he'll have guards all round.
We'll be careful. Cal, catch one of them horses, and we'll put this boy on it.
Cal rode off toward a black gelding that was grazing upriver a few hundred yards. Meanwhile, Smoke helped the young outlaw to his feet.
You got Bloody Bill mighty worried. He can't figure out who'd be slick enough to slip up on us a few at a time like you two've been doing. He figures there's just one of you. You're the same feller who tossed Harley Suggins off that roof, ain't you?
Never did know the dead man's name.
I told my partner Chuck we ought to cut out before we got our own selves killed. That's Chuck laying over yonder.
Who's the other man? I only fired on 3 of you.
That's Stormy Summers. I saw Bill shoot him down because he wouldn't stop acting scared. Makes 2 of us Bill went and killed. He shot Lee inside the bank because he hit that banker too hard and knocked him cold. Bill's been acting crazy as hell lately.
We'll find him and get the money back.
I'll turn myself in to the marshal, just like you said, only I can't tell the marshal who it was ordered me to do it unless you give me your name.
Tell him Smoke Jensen sent you, and that I said to take you to the doctor. Just make damn sure you show up in Dodge, or I'll track you down.
Yes, sir, Mr. Jensen. You got no worries about that.
Four men sat huddled around a small fire, deep within a rock cavern with curious glistening walls of solid alabaster. Bill was chewing a mouthful of jerky, washing it down with whiskey. Deeper into the cave, their horses and pack animals were hobbled and fed what little grain the gang had left in tow sacks. Bags of money lay near the fire, and piles of currency, along with gleaming gold and silver coins, were stacked in neat rows. Bill watched Walter Blackwell count the money.
More than 40,000 so far, Bill.
We're rich!
Bill cocked an ear toward the entrance into the cavern where Buster, Billy Riley, and Cletus Miller were standing guard.
Best of all, we gave that sneaky bastard the slip, so our troubles are over. He'll never find us here. Hell, the cavalry and dozens of U.S. Marshals from Fort Smith have been riding past these caves for years. Hardly anybody knows they're here. We lay low for a little while, maybe 5 or 6 weeks, and then we ride out free as birds. Keep on counting. You ain't hardly more than half done. There's going to be $60,000 the way I figure.
Tad Younger, a cousin to Cole Younger and his famous outlaw bunch, was frowning.
Sure do hope whoever's been behind us don't show up. He's made a habit out of showing up when he ain't supposed to.
We lost him. Can't no Indian or white man find a horse's tracks where we just rode. Slabs of rock don't leave no horse sign.
Whoa, here's 10,000 more.
Woohoo! Maybe there's gonna be 70,000 after all.
Bill leapt to his feet, clawing both six guns from his holsters. He took off in a run for the entrance, leveling his pistols in front of him, almost tripping in the dark. Racing up to the opening, caught in a wild fury beyond his control when he knew the man who'd been tracking him had showed up at the cave in spite of all his precautions. He stopped when he saw three dark shapes lying behind a pile of boulders where his guards had been hiding. Big Buster Young was writhing back and forth, holding his belly, his face twisted in a grimace. Billy Riley lay face down on the rocks in a pool of blood, and he wasn't moving. Cletus sat against a big stone, a shotgun resting in his lap, arms dangling limply at his sides while his mouth hung open, drooling blood on his shirt. And when Bill saw this, all three of his men, dead or dying from three well-placed shots, he tasted fear for the first time in his life. Gazing out at the darkness, where only dim light from the stars showed any detail of his surroundings, something inside him stirred, a knot of terror forming in his chest that had never been there before. And he noticed that the hands holding his pistol were shaking so badly that he knew his aim was going to be way off target if he could find anything to shoot at.
Come on out, Anderson! Got you cornered! There ain't gonna be no escape!
Bill crouched down. In spite of the night chill, sweat poured from his hat band into his eyes.
You're gonna have to kill us! You ain't taking none of us alive!
Suits the hell out of me!
Bill heard the footsteps coming up behind him. He didn't bother to turn around to see who it was.
Get your rifles. We'll gather up the money and shoot our way out of here.
He'll kill us.
Like hell he will, Walter. Just do like I say and get rifles ready. Tell the others to saddle our horses and put the money on them pack saddles.
I've never disobeyed an order from you, Bill, but this is different. It'll be like we killed ourselves if we try to ride out. Whoever that fella is, he don't miss.
Shut the hell up, Walter, and do what I ordered.
I won't do it.
You what?
I won't let you get the rest of us killed.
The sudden realization of what Walter meant to do struck Bill Anderson just a split second before the hammer fell on a Mason Colt 44-40 conversion.
I just shot Bloody Bill! Don't shoot at us no more. We give up. You can have the money. Only don't kill no more of us. We're done running from you. We sure have been curious about who you was, mister. Never had nobody on our trail so hot and heavy before.
Smoke Jensen. But I don't see how names make any difference now.
Tie their hands real good, Cal.
Smoke kept a Colt aimed at the three survivors of the Dodge City raid.
Then we'll go in the cave and fetch the money out.
Sure was unusual that one of his own men went and shot him for us.
We got tired of following stupid orders. I shot him. Can't say as I'm one bit sorry.
Maybe the judge will go light on you at your trial.
Well, I'm hoping he will.
Where'd you learn to track a man like you've been doing all day and tonight?
From an old mountain man up in the high lonesome of Colorado Territory.
Never saw nothing like it before, mister. You killed some mighty tough men since we came to Dodge.
Sometimes being tough isn't enough.
Cal finished the last knot on an outlaw's wrists.
Now walk in front of me, boys, while we go down for that money. Don't reckon I'll have to warn none of you that if you try anything, I'll kill you so quick you won't have time to blink.
As Smoke walked past Bloody Bill Anderson, he gave the old Confederate a passing glance. Anderson had met his end at the hands of a Judas, and somehow that seemed fitting.
What about these here bodies? We gonna bury them?
Leave them. The buzzards and coyotes will scatter their remains. I'll give an honest man a decent burial, but I never was inclined to dig graves for them that don't have it coming.
When Smoke and the others were out of sight, Bill Anderson's eyes blinked open briefly. The next morning, Marshal Earp and Pearly rode out on the prairie south of town at a gallop to meet Smoke, Cal, and the remainder of the outlaws. Earp looked at the three pack horses and the mule first, a surprised expression on his face.
You got all the money back? Where's Anderson and the rest of his gang?
Had to kill a few.
One of Anderson's own men shot him. We had him trapped inside the cave, and there was no way out. Anderson still wanted to fight until this fellow over to his left settled himself by shooting Bloody Billy in the head.
One of them came to town with a hole in his leg to give himself up. He told us a little bit about what happened on their way to the river. You're every bit as good with a gun as we heard you were, Mr. Jensen. Hard to believe you came back with our money. Just the two of you.
Pearly was giving Cal a close inspection.
I reckon this boy ain't got no scratches on him that'll upset Miss Jensen when we get back.
Cal was a big help. He showed a lot of nerve.
It wasn't his nerves I was worried about. Not that I was really all that worried about him.
Let's get this money back into the vaults. Then me and Cal need a few hours of shut-eye before I finish that cattle deal with Mr. Crawford Long. It's high time we got back to our home range, where things are quieter.
Bill Anderson awakened slowly. He found Buster Young sitting beside him. Buster's belly was leaking blood, and despite his great size, he seemed small, childlike, and afraid.
I'm dying, Bill. You hear me, Bill?
I hear you.
I'm gut shot. Worst way to die there is.
Oh, what happened to my head?
Walter shot you. Only the slug grazed across the top of your skull. Looks like you're gonna live. Only you're bleeding as bad as I am.
Bill raised an arm and touched his scalp tenderly. A slice of skin and hair went all the way to the bone.
I don't remember much.
Ain't but one horse. If I can get to a doctor.
One horse?
Down yonder, grazing on short grass.
I need it.
So do I, Bill. I'm gonna die unless some sawbones can stop his blood.
One horse Can't carry the both of us.
Buster appeared to be near passing out. Bill tried to focus his eyes. Sorrel, wearing a saddle, trailing its reins, grazed a few hundred yards from the cave.
I can go fetch help.
You won't come back for me, Bill. I know you.
Bill's hand moved to a pistol that was lying on the rock near his left leg. His choice seemed easy, crystal clear.
Then, I'm gonna have to take the horse.
You'd leave me here to die?
No choice. Sorry, Buster. Wish it didn't have to be this way.
Bill sleeved blood from his eyes, his head throbbing with unimaginable pain. Then he came unsteadily to his feet while his head cleared.
To hell with you, Buster. I gotta get to a doctor myself.
Staggering, almost falling, he made his way slowly to the Red Sorrel gelding and caught its reins. After a moment of rest, he managed to pull himself across the saddle. And with that, Bill Anderson rode off, leaving a trail of blood spots on the rock at the bottom of the dry river. Gray clouds cloaked the mountaintops. Spits of light snow came sweeping down mountain valleys. Bundled in their coats, Smoke, Cal, and Pearlie sighted the ranch house.
Yahoo! Sure feel good to be home!
We's just getting here ahead of a powerful storm. My old bunk sure is gonna feel nice and warm tonight.
Smoke couldn't suppress a grin when he saw the house, and the barns and the corrals, all the product of his own labor, his and Sally's. And he couldn't remember when he had longed to see Sally so badly. This trip had been just about the worst when it came to missing her. He noticed that Johnny North had put plenty of hay out in the pens for cattle and horses. Everything looked like it was in order.
It does feel good to set eyes on this place again.
A figure came out on the porch of the ranch house, and Smoke recognized Sally at once.
I've got a kiss or two to deliver to that woman yonder. Not to mention a saddlebag full of money. See you boys at the supper table.
Smoke pulled the stud to a halt at the porch rail and swung down with his saddlebags. A grin crinkling his sun-weathered face before he even reached the porch steps.
Howdy, stranger.
Smoke went into Sally's embrace.
Good to see you, Sally.
I've missed you so much, Smoke.
You wouldn't believe me if I told you how much I missed you. This time it was different for some reason or other. I got a bad case of lonely while I was gone.
We can make up for lost time tonight.
Howdy, Miss Jensen!
Cal rode past the house toward the barns at a steady trot.
Howdy do, Miss Jensen!
Hello, boys! As soon as you've put away your horses, I've got two apple pies on the kitchen table. I made them yesterday. I'll be warming them up for you.
Lordy, lordy, you hear that, young? Two apple pies. One's for me, and you gotta share the other with the boss man.
Like heck I do. I always get my very own pie. Just ask Miss Jensen if that ain't so.
Now tell me how the steers did, and if you had any difficulties along the way, come inside. I've got coffee on the stove.
The steers trailed better than I ever expected, and they fetched a price I'd never dreamed they'd bring.
Smoke placed the saddlebags on the kitchen table, pointing to them.
There's better than $6,000. A buyer came early, and he paid my price quick as I could ask it.
Why, that's almost $20 a head.
That's exactly what it is. 20 a head for 307 steers. Just over $6,000 for a crossbred yearling calf crop. I'd say we had a mighty good year this year.
It'll get better every year from now on, Smoke. This spring's calves already look heavier. We'll be showing a nice profit next fall, too.
I knew you'd be happy. You were right about a Hereford making a good cross with our longhorns, but then you claimed to be right about everything.
I was right about you, wasn't I? How many women would have taken a chance by marrying a gunfighter like the man you were when we met?
Well, I knew it when I met my match. Only a fool takes on a contest he knows he can't win.
Was there any difficulty on the way? Any trouble?
Yeah, we ran across a few renegade Osage on the way to Dodge.
There's more, isn't there?
A little. Both banks got robbed while we were in town, and I lent the city marshal a hand getting the money back, seeing as some of it was our money, money for our steers.
You got in a gunfight, didn't you?
Some might call it that.
Oh, smoke. When will you ever stop?
I didn't have a choice, Sally. Several innocent citizens of Dodge City were wounded or killed, including women and kids. Now, you know I can't turn my back on that sort of thing.
I suppose not. I don't suppose you ever will.
This time, I really didn't have a way out.
Uh-huh. And you killed some men?
A few. What's in a number, anyway?
I suppose I don't really want to know, do I?
I'd be better if you didn't. Now, open those saddlebags and take a look at all that pretty money. The only thing on this earth that's any prettier right now is you.
Sally pulled out a canvas bag with the cattleman's bank printed on it. When she opened the sack, her eyes rounded.
This is an awful lot of money. It'll buy everything we need with plenty to spare.
Sally pulled bundles of wrapped currency out of the bag and placed them in front of her on the tabletop. But then she ignored the money to look at Smoke, and he knew that look on her face.
But I wouldn't trade all the money in the world for you, Smoke Jensen. That's why I keep hoping that one of these days, when you leave the ranch, you'll leave your guns at home.
Maybe that time isn't far off. Things are changing in this part of the West. But until they do, I'll keep on carrying my guns. I won't let anybody take what's rightfully ours. We worked hard to build this ranch and stock it with the best animals we could find. What we make is ours to keep.
I know. And I know I can't change that part of you that won't let you pass up a wrong. Maybe that's a part of why I love you. Only I can't help it if I worry.
They were interrupted when Cal and Pearlie came stomping through the back door. Cal was first to eye the pair of apple pies, and he promptly licked his lips.
Prettiest sight I ever saw, one of your apple pies. That one on the left's mine, Miss Jensen, if you got no objection.
Ain't fair! One cowboy don't get a whole pie to eat all by himself.
Cal's a growing boy, Pearlie. Let him eat as much as he wants. I've got bear claws under that linen over there on the drain board. There's plenty to go around.
See there, boy? Miss Jensen made them bear claws for me. Hey, you go ahead and stuff yourself with pie so you'll grow. Hope you bust wide open to the belly so I have to haul you to town in the wagon to see the doctor. I think you look good with stitches across your middle. Maybe the doc can put one of them newfangled zippers on your belly so easy can open you up before you bust open every time you sit down to eat.
Smoke accepted his slice of pie with a nod, sipping coffee, thinking how lucky he was to have Sally and good men like Cal and Pearlie and Johnny around him. Things hadn't always been this good for Kirby Jensen. Not in the beginning, not until he changed his ways. Then he reckoned he hadn't played much part in the changes. Sally deserved that credit. He found himself looking forward to sundown, when he could crawl into bed beside her and forget about the bloodshed in Kansas. Smoke Jensen, the Mountain Man, 22, Pride of the Mountain Man, is a Graphic Audio production. Copyright 1998, William W. Johnstone. Production copyright 2011, The Cutting Corporation, all rights reserved. Published by arrangement with Kensington Publishing Corporation, all rights reserved. Performed by Mort Shelby, James Lewis, Christopher Graybill, Drew Copas, Tim Getman, James Konachek, Thomas Penny, Michael Glenn, Eric Messner, David Coyne, Terrence Aselfer, Jonathan Watkins, Elizabeth Jernigan, Christopher Sheeran, Paul Fidalgo, Andy Clements, Dylan Lynch, Richard Rowan, Scott McCormick, Tony Nam, Colleen Delaney, Joe Brack, Yasmin Toison, and Kimberly Gilbert. Additional Boot Hill Boys by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Rose and Elizabeth Supan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beaver. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing, graphic audio sound design, and Smoke Jensen theme music by Johann Detweiler. Additional music by Johann Detweiler and Brian Patton. Book adapted for graphic audio by Johann Detweiler. If you enjoyed Pride of the Mountain Man, read the Pinnacle Edition. Visit www.kensingtonbooks.com. And be sure to look for William W. Johnstone's The First Mountain Man, The Last Mountain Man, Blood Bond, The Last Gunfighter, Eagles, and Sidewinder series, as well as Elmer Kelton's Texas Ranger series. All available in graphic audio at Road Stops Everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net. where you'll find samples of all our Action Pump titles, as well as free downloads and podcasts. Now, keep listening for exciting previews of other titles in graphic audio. We appreciate it.
Tell me, Kip. If you've done bad things your whole life, but you die doing something good, do you think that makes up for all the bad?
No.
Me neither.
But it's better than nothing. Orcholum is merciful.
Wonder if you'll say that after they're done with your village.
Gavin Guile is the Prism, the most powerful man in the world. He is High Priest and Emperor, a man whose power, wit, and charm are all that preserves a tenuous peace. A peace that is slowly rotting from the inside out.
This is all that's left of what was once a great civilization. Statues of great men. Broken by the pygmies who follow. Let me tell you something you already know. Something that all of you have believed, but no one dared to say. The wrong Guile won the Prism's war. They killed him because they were worried he would change everything. They feared him because Dazen Guile wanted to free us. Dazen knew that light cannot be chained.
As darkness slowly encroaches upon the land, Gavin receives a mysterious letter.
I'm dying, Gavin. It's time you meet your son, Kip. Lena.
As Gavin races to find his son, he learns of a new and dangerous threat to his empire. A man who calls himself King.
Your time is finished. Yours and the Chromarians. You're done! Light cannot be chained. Know this, Prism. We will take back what you've stolen. The horrors of your reign are almost at an end. And when it ends, I will be there. This, I swear!
With the death of his empire looming, Gavin will be forced to wage a war on multiple fronts. But little does he know, his assassin may be looking right before his very eyes.
You're a stupid, stupid boy, Kip. But maybe a dull sword can go where a sharp one wouldn't be allowed. Don't you forget this. Don't listen to him, you hear me? He's a liar. You will not fail me in this, Kip. You learn, and then you kill him.
Yes, Mother?
Kip, if you ever loved me, avenge me. Swear it by your worthless soul, Kip.
I swear to avenge you, Mother, by my very soul.
Don't miss the beginning of the end in Brent Week's critically acclaimed new series, The Lightbringer Trilogy. Book 1, The Black Prism, Parts 1 through 3. Available now in graphic audio.
Available now in graphic audio.
Tell you what, darling. Why don't me and you go on up and join my brother and that big old gal he's with?
I never thought you'd ask. I was beginning to think you didn't like me.
Now, how about getting a bottle to take up with us?
Never mind the bottle, miss. You won't be needing it. None of them will.
What do you mean I'll not be needing me a bottle of whiskey?
You won't be needing it because you'll either be going back to McAllister with me to stand trial for bank robbery and murder, or you'll be dead.
You're a funny man, mister. You give me a good laugh. So what makes you think we held up a bank in McAllister, huh? Where is McAllister, anyway? There ain't none of us ever even been there.
Oh, you've been there, all right. I know that because I trailed the five of you from there to here.
Who the hell are you, anyway?
The name is Falcon McAllister. You take your guns out of your holsters and put them on the floor.
I would call that bold talk for someone who's not only outnumbered 4-1, but who ain't even holding a pistol. I'll tell you right now, the only way my gun is coming out of my holster is when I pull it to kill you. Now, boys! Good God, I seen it, but I ain't believing it. Are they dead?
They're all dead.
How do you know they're all dead?
Because I didn't have time not to kill them.
And Mr. Hanlon, I'm surprised at you paying good money for a map like this. Where did you buy this?
I didn't buy it nowhere! I drawed that there map my own self. Tells you exactly where the gold is.
You're telling me you know where the gold is?
Yes, sir, that's exactly what I'm telling you.
Do you have any proof that you found the mine? I mean, other than this map.
Oh, yes, sir, I got me some proof. These here nuggets I took from the mine. And there's a lot more where these came from.
This is gold. This is real gold.
Well, yes, sir, that's what I've been trying to tell you all along.
Is it true? Is it true that the old coot had a map to a gold mine?
I don't know. Why are you asking?
Because if the map is real, I know where it is.
Where is this big vein of gold that's supposed to be in here?
Well, there. It's not a vein of gold, but it is gold. It looks like Mr. Hanlon already gathered it up.
Did he dig them out of this cave? Where did they come from?
Not here. They were mined somewhere else and moved here.
I have a
Get down!
McAllister! How's it feel to know you're about to die?
Mr. McAllister, you all right?
Don't miss Eagles 15, Slaughter of Eagles. Available now in graphic audio.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net, where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different graphic audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.